it's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. I'm crucified with Christ, no longer I, but Christ who lives in me.
When good morning and just beautiful, another beautiful day in paradise. California's paradise. We were walking down to come here, and I said, would you just look at this weather? It just, I tell you guys are, yeah, it's kind of cold. Oh, boy, yeah. So I was instructed, and I, you know, being a former Marine, I follow instructions. I follow orders. I was instructed not to give a full-blown message, just kind of wrap up what we've been talking about. I said, I can do that. I have no problem. And, you know, someone, you know, of course, y'all heard me talk about In-N-Out Burger, and then folks said that I was buying. I have the Newport News shekel. It doesn't work here in California. I didn't do the exchange, you know, so you guys have the California shekel, so y'all are the ones that's buying. So, but what I want to do is just kind of explain communion and the ultimate sacrifice, because we've been talking about the crucified life, and we can't talk about the crucified life without talking about the one who was crucified. I mean, we have to talk about Jesus and him going to the cross. So let's open up in prayer. Father, thank you again that you brought us here to hear your word and to hear things that are on your heart that's dear to you. So Lord, as men, we pray you give us ears to hear in Jesus' name. Amen. The crucified life, the life that was demonstrated by Jesus himself. It's an amazing thing. The crucifixion, it's we look to it, and we look to it as the Jesus paying the ultimate price for our sin, and he did that. But crucifixion was a cruel way to die. It's an amazing way. Sometimes we look at the cross and we say, you know, the cross, yeah. Well, but sometimes we forget what Jesus went through to pay the ultimate price for our sin. We know that the Romans did not invent crucifixion. It was invented by the Persians 1,000 years before Rome even picked up the art of crucifixion. Rome, the Romans were the one who definitely perfected it. But it was invented by the Persians 1,000 years prior. The Persians felt that the ground was sacred, so they would never put a dead body 6 feet under like we do. So they will elevate a person above the ground, and that's how they would execute an individual. And of course, you know, the Romans perfected it. With the whole cross deal, we know from that cross that they would never put someone on the cross with their arms straight out and their legs straight like that. They would never do that. The person would die in no time. But they would slightly bend the arms and slightly bend the knees. And the purpose of that was to prolong the agony and the death. So the person can push up on the nail to get air and then slump back down and suffocate. The tongue will begin to swell, and then they will push back up to get air, and then they will sink right back down. It was a cruel way to die. Some even, there are some records that show that there are some who lasted for days. Even on the cross, you had to worry about the birds coming into pick and poke at you and pick your eyeballs out and all kinds of things. It's a cruel way. But Jesus submitted to that. We know that crucifixion was talked about in the book of Psalms. You know, talking about in Psalm 16, his hands were pierced and his feet. And it's an amazing thing what he went through for us. And so in celebrating communion, we're looking at those who were instructed in Corinth, and Paul was instructing them because, you know, even though Corinth was an amazing church, it was a church, like we like to say, it was a church that was a hot mess. Definitely. They had all the gifts going, but it was out of order. They were celebrating communion, but, you know, some were eating ahead of others, and others were getting drunk off the wine. It was just a mess. Paul said, what are you guys doing? And it was just a big mess. And so Paul is instructing and writing the believers in Corinth to give them the proper instruction on how to have communion and what communion stands for. So looking at verses 23 to 34 in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul said, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. And so as they were abusing communion, the Lord's Supper, Paul instructs them on how communion is to be done. Oh, I love just the first part of verse 23. I have to just take a rabbit trail here briefly in verse 23 when it says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Anyone who is teaching anything should be able to say this. What I received from the Lord, that is what I'm delivering to you. That is the key to teaching. That is the key to preaching. That is the key to imparting truth, is to receive from the Lord and give it to people what you have received from God yourself. And Paul is saying that I'm not just making up this stuff. He says that what I'm giving to you, I receive from the Lord himself. We know no doubt that Paul spent 3 years in the Arabian desert being personally discipled by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so he tells them that communion is a fourfold thing. Number one, communion is a time of looking back at what Jesus accomplished for us on Calvary's cross. It's a time of looking at the cross. So every time we partake of communion, we are reminded again the price that Jesus paid for our redemption. He paid for our sin. The cruel cross. Putting a cross around our necks is equivalent, and we know what it means today, the connotation is changes, but it's equivalent to putting the electric chair around our necks, a symbol of the electric chair. But we know the connotation is to remind us of the cross and the price that was paid for our sins. So communion is a time of looking back. Because sometimes we need to hit the brakes and see what Christ has done for us on Calvary's cross. So because so often that information, Jesus dying for our sin, is almost like water off a duck's back. Oh, we've heard it so many times. But see, communion causes us to lock back in and say, this is what he went through to pay the price for your sin. That which you're struggling with, that which you're dealing with, that which you're going through, Jesus paid the price for that on Calvary's cross. And this is why we always say that how many of our sins were yet future when Christ died on the cross? All of them. He paid the price for all of our sins, past, present, and future. And so it's a time of looking back, remembering what the Lord has done for us. Then communion is number two, a time of looking within. He says, let every man, in verse 28, let every man examine himself. And this is the time you're going to examine your heart before the Lord and see if there's anything there that you need to confess to the Lord. Like David said in Psalm 139, search me and know me. Search my heart and know me, God. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me to the way everlasting. So therefore, it's a time of examining ourselves because we don't want to partake in an unworthy manner, which means to partake with known sin in our lives. We can't do that. He paid the price. We're partaking of him, the symbol of him dying for our sins. But then we're going to partake of this with sin in our hearts. We can't do that. That's what it means to partake in an unworthy manner. You just can't do it. And so we have to examine our hearts. And this is why we're going to give you an opportunity to just kind of sit and as worship is going on, some songs, and you examine your heart. This is between you and the Lord. It's not like in the Marine Corps, you come on the buddy system. You know, come up on the buddy system. No, there's no buddy system. This is between you individually and the Lord individually. And therefore, you're going to examine your heart, see if there's any wicked way in you. Oh, then number three, communion is also looking ahead. Oh, he told us in verse 26 to do this till he comes. And so it's a time of looking ahead. Every time we partake of communion, we're reminded that Jesus Christ is coming again. Oh, not much talk is talked about, you know, Jesus coming back again. Not much talk is on that today. You know, everything is about health and wealth and prosperity and all kind of stuff. But Jesus Christ is coming again. And that used to be a big talk when I gave my life to the Lord back in the 80s. But it's not much talk about that today. Oh, people have been talking about the Lord coming back for years. Well, then that reminds me of what the Bible says, that our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Every day that goes by is nearer than we first believed. And so every moment that go by is nearer to for the time of Jesus Christ to return. So one thing we fail to realize every time we partake of communion, it should remind us that Jesus Christ is coming again. It's supposed to. He says, do this till I come. And then number four, communion is a time of looking around. It's a time of looking around. Looking around at this world and the sin that is going on in the world and making sure we don't partake of it with them. Because it says in verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord. Why? That we may not be condemned with the world. We're to look at the world and things that's going on. We're not to be partakers with them because these are the things that God is going to judge the world for. And therefore, when we call ourselves participating in the sins of the world, God chastens us. He spanks us. He takes us out the woodshed and lays some wood on us. Why does he do that? So we're not condemned with the world. So we need to be looking around. Looking around at what's going on in this world. Looking around at what's happening and the things that the world is doing. And making sure we're not partakers with them. And when we do, God is going to have to deal with us. He's going to have to deal with us. And so this is communion because many of these believers, they were eating and misusing and abusing communion. And some of them were sick and some of them even died as a result of them mishandling the communion elements and not taking this thing seriously. So as we wrap it up, communion is a time of looking back at what Jesus accomplished for us on Calvary's cross. It's a time of looking within. He said, let every man examine himself. And this is what we're going to do. Examine our hearts. Then do this till I come. We're to look ahead. Reminded that when we partake that Jesus Christ is coming back again. Then number four, it's time of looking around. Oh, it don't take much for us to look around. All we got to really do is turn on the TV. We can see what the world is into. And make sure that we're not partakers with them. And when we call ourselves going to dabble, dabble, and going to tip into the world a little bit, oh, God's going to be right there with the belt. Yeah. And he's going to, you know. I know, you know, I'm of a generation where we spanked. I'm sure that, yeah, some of y'all are of my ilk in my generation. Some of you younger ones, you still putting your kids in timeout. And timeout, you know, they you tell them to go to their room, and that's timeout. And in their room, they got cell phones, computers, they got Xbox, they got all kind of the latest technology. Of course they want to go to their room. Who wouldn't want to go to a room like that? But in my generation, we believed in you spare the rod, you spoil the child. That's what scripture says. So, you know, but today we living in crazy times. But this is what communion is about. So as we close in prayer, we want to make sure we leave everything here. We leave it here. You want to leave and go back a changed man, not go back still dragging the same luggage, or as we used to do in the Marine Corps, is doing the sea bag drag, and you got all your junk that you brought up here, and you taking it back with you. No, the purpose is to leave that mess here. And so as we worship and close, have Chris come back up, and we're going to have a few songs, and this is where we're going to examine our hearts and get things right with the Lord, and make sure that things are right with him, and we can leave it here. We can't say on the mountain, but we leave it here in paradise. We leave it here. So let's close in prayer. Father, thank you again for these men. We're so grateful for the cross. We are so grateful for you shedding your blood for us. And dear God, I just pray, Lord, do a work in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you have mercy upon us. Lord, for the sins that we have committed in word and deed. And dear God, I just pray that we would leave them here at the foot of the cross, that we would see you high and lifted up. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, do a work in us, do a cleansing work in our hearts and in our lives today. Lord, thank you for these men. What wonderful men they are. Lord, they are, Lord, on the brink of being great men of God. Lord, search our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. Son of God, he died and rose again.